Good evening. Welcome to another Wednesday devotional, or Wednesdays at Bliner, as you seems to call us now. Hoping you're all okay. I think it's going to be a while before we're back together again as a fellowship, but we'll continue to do whatever we can to encourage and post things online and on the telephone line, and continue to keep in touch with you, keep in touch with each other. Keep praying for one another, and let's do all we can to make these days of lockdown bearable. As I say, I hope you're all okay. If you're listening to this before our conference call this evening, then I hope you manage to follow the instructions that you should have by now, and look forward to hearing from you a bit later. If you're listening to it after, then I hope that it was helpful and worthwhile for you. Just a heads up that next Sunday morning, Morgan Britton from Crickhowell was due to be speaking with us this weekend, so he's going to be doing the online message this coming Sunday. Looking forward to hearing Morgan speak. I've never actually heard him preach a sermon, but he's a very able guy, and just pray that God would bless him as he prepares for Sunday now, and look forward to that. Well, our Prime Minister laid out what he considered a roadmap to get out of lockdown, Boris Johnson, on Sunday evening. It was watched by something like 27 million viewers as he laid out a roadmap. Well, I hope most of those 27 million people understood it a bit better than I did. I'm glad I don't have to navigate via the Boris Johnson's roadmap too often. I think it's even more confusing because it seems that Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland seem to have a very different roadmap. But anyway, I'm sure one day we'll get out of lockdown, and one day we'll rejoice to be back together with one another. I mentioned it before though, navigation is quite an important thing, isn't it? I never leave home without sat-nav. I have no sense of direction whatsoever, and if I left home without sat-nav, I'd probably never find my way home again. It can be particularly confusing when I've got Amanda in the car with me, because that means I've got two women telling me which way to go, and they don't always agree. Ships have always, it's been a massive thing over centuries rather, that navigation is a vital thing to find our way from A to B, and particularly with ships that we find a way across the ocean. It's the way people have managed to move around. Planes are the same. I've done a little bit of sailing over the years, not very much, but I remember sailing being at the tiller of a boat, a yacht, in Italy once, and the captain of the boat said, you know, fix a point on the land. Keep that little marker on the mast heading towards that point in the land, and you'll be fine. That's navigation. And actually, it was fairly easy. But it's important to know where you're going. It's important to be able to see where you're going. It's important to be able to fix on that point, isn't it? Keeping course is important, but ships in particular are very easily blown off course by storms that rage around them. They're very easily blown off course by waves and difficulties that crop up around them. I think the government must feel a little bit like that at the moment. Their economic predictions, the Chancellor gave another speech on Tuesday, didn't he? And his economic predictions for this year have been completely blown out of the water, and probably for the next few years. Storms arise. Storms can blow us off course just as easily as they can blow ships off course. But we can also be slowly lured off course, can't we? It doesn't take a storm. It doesn't take something that blows up around us and batters us to take us off course. In the 18th century, around the coastlands of Britain, I think it became a capital offence because people would deliberately try and lure ships off course and light false beacons and hold up lights that would deliberately lure ships off course and cause them to shipwreck on the beach so that they could people could then steal their cargo. Luring ships onto rocks, we can easily be lured off course. by false teaching. We'll be looking at that a bit more as we go through Timothy in the coming weeks. By our own pride, our own thinking, by a lack of humility, by a lack of faith. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Apollo 13. It's a great movie if you haven't seen it. I remember Apollo 13. So it always brings back memories when I watch that film. But there's a particular scene in that film where the ship that they're travelling back to Earth in is slightly off course. And they have to correct it. Now, there's no power left in the ship, so they have to do it manually. And if they don't get it right, they either burn up on re-entry or they skip off the Earth's atmosphere into outer space. And the only way they've got of fixing a point is to keep the Earth in a window on the spaceship. And they fire the rockets, and the only thing they're concentrating on is keeping the Earth in the window. It's a very tense moment in the film, because you know if they get it wrong, that's going to be the end of them one way or another. And they managed to do it. Extraordinary skill, extraordinary ability of the pilots managed to keep the Earth in the window as these powerful rockets blasted them all over the place. They kept their eyes on the Earth. They kept their eyes on that fixed point. Well, I just want to remind us of a verse in Hebrews. I think I referred to this a few weeks ago, actually. It is one of my favourite verses in the New Testament, but it's an important one too. The writer to the Hebrews says this: looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus. I think the NIV says fixing your eyes on Jesus. It's a deliberate act of keeping your eyes fixed on him. When you're playing sports, when you're playing with a ball, I could never understand when I was young, they kept telling me to keep my eye on the ball. But it means fix your eyes on it. Don't take your eyes off it. Why do we fix our eyes on Jesus? Why him? Well, because he's unchangeable. Because he is unmovable. Because he is unfailing. And because he endured the cross. He is the single best example of living a life for God that we can ever have. You don't fix your eyes on second best, do you? And here's my chance to get a little bit of cricket into this evening. There was a spin bowler, a leg spin bowler, back in the 90s and early 2000s, who played for Australia called Stuart McGill. Stuart McGill was probably at any other time would have played 100 plus test matches for Australia, and he would have taken many, many wickets. He did play 20 or 30 test matches, I think, and he took quite a few hundred wickets. He was a very, very fine bowler. Would have walked into most, certainly county teams, probably most international teams at the time. England certainly would have bitten his hand off to come and play for them. But he only played 20 or 30 test matches for Australia because he happened to be playing at pretty much the same time as the best bowler who's ever lived, really. It's a guy called Shane Warne. He played the 20 or 30 tests that he played because Shane Warne was either injured or banned for quite a lot of the time. But Shane Warne took over 800 test wickets in 100 plus test matches and was probably one of the best bowlers who's ever walked the face of the earth, ever played the game. Well, if you want to be a leg spin bowler, you don't fix your eyes on Stuart McGill. Not a bad guy to fix your eyes on, but you don't fix your eyes on Stuart McGill. You fix your eyes on Shane Warne because he's the best there's ever been. We fix our eyes on Jesus because he's the best there's ever been. He lived the perfect life. He lived the life that none of us could live. He lived that life to the ultimate extreme where he surrendered himself even to death on a cross. He endured everything in life that was thrown at him. Temptation, hardship, difficulty. Everything that was thrown at him. Even the temptation to walk away from the cross. Even the punishment and the pain. Not just the physical pain, but the spiritual pain. As God poured out on him the punishment for the sin of the world. He endured it all. He went to the end. And why did he do it? He endured the cross for the glory, for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? Well, the joy was knowing that he was taking us with him. That by going to the cross, he paid the price for our sin, that he won us peace with God. And that ultimately he will stand in glory with us and rejoice and glorify the Father for saving us. Well, how do we fix our eyes on Jesus? How do we do that? Well, it isn't just by thinking good thoughts. It isn't just by thinking by sort of imagining what he's like. My kids used to wear wristbands when they were young teenagers that had WWJD on them. What would Jesus do? Well, how do you know what Jesus would do? Well, there's a place where God declares him to us, isn't there? There's a place that God reveals him to us, and that's in his word. That's in the scriptures. By looking to the scriptures, that's how we look to Jesus. We look to the scriptures. God declares him to us in his word. We've covered these verses just recently, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verses 1 to 4. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. Well, we are warned in scripture, aren't we? Paul warns us that in latter days people would come who would preach a different gospel, who would preach a different Christ. Well, if anyone preaches a different gospel or a different Christ, or portrays Jesus as someone that we don't recognise for the scriptures, and there's lots of that around, run away. Get away from it. Let's not be led astray by that. The only real certainty we have in what is a very uncertain world at the moment is that fixed point. That fixed point in space. It's like the world in the window of that spaceship, as Jim Lovell and Fred Hayes tried to navigate it back to Earth. Jesus is that fixed point in space. He's the only one we can rely on. He's unmovable. He's unchanging. He endured to the end. Keep your eyes firmly and actively looking to Jesus. Don't turn to anything or anyone else. Look to him and consciously refuse to look to anyone else. Well, I'll just finish with some words from the Psalms and some words from a hymnist and some words from our friend Mr. Calvin. So here we are from the Psalms. The psalmist says this: "You guide me with your counsel." This is Psalm 73 and verse 24. Psalm 73, verse 24. "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory." You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. The hymn writer says this, doesn't he? "Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand." The only guide we have through this barren land is our great Redeemer, the great Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on him. Don't look around at anybody else. And here we are from Calvin's Institutes. "God, in order to bring the whole human race under the same condemnation, holds forth to all, without exception, a mirror of his deity in his works. Another and better help must be given to guide us properly to God as creator. Not in vain, therefore, has he added the light of his word, in order that he might make himself known unto salvation, and bestowed the privilege on those whom he is pleased to bring into nearer and more familiar relation to himself. Not in vain, therefore, has he added the light of his word, in order that he might make himself known unto salvation." Amen. God bless all. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday. I'll put in an appearance, even if Morgan's doing the main thing. But pray for him as he prepares. Let's continue to pray for each other, and we'll continue to get in touch in the days to come. Every blessing. Bye now.